I've been here in Uganda for 1 week now. It's been great to be back. It's been a wild experience. It's felt like a lot longer than a week. The main places that I've been this week are in Kampala, in a place called Kaboa, and in a town a little bit west of Kampala called Masaka. In Kampala, I was able to spend a lot of time discussing with people who are either in business or entering business, not so much with business owners themselves, which is what I'll do next time I'm in Kampala. But some things that I found is that it seems like there's two audiences I could focus on. One is everyone, and that one means most people here are living hand to mouth. They work for a day and then they have to spend that money on food and on transport and on school fees. So if it was to be a foodstuffs business or a transportation opportunity, then that could be a way to get everyone. Now, if I had millions and millions of dollars, I would do transport. What I'd do is I would bring in trains. Because right now I was using taxis, I was using these motorcycle bodas, and when you're driving, it's an absolute chaotic mess. When you're going through an intersection, it's just winner takes all. You don't have to focus on where you've been. You don't have to even know what's going on around you. There's too much. There's motorcycles and cars, and your only focus is, can I move into the spot right in front of me? If you can, you go. If you can't, you wait until you can. So it's all just focused. There's people walking, there's motorcycles, and on the back of motorcycles, people are carrying these long items, or maybe it's long tubes of steel going out behind them. Maybe they're carrying a cow on the back. Like, it's not uncommon. And then there's someone walking. Oh, look, there's a cow on the road. You're just driving. It's chaotic. And Kampala jam, traffic jam, being stopped in Kampala is something everyone complains about. Now, I don't have millions of dollars. But if I did, I would create a train system connecting the cities, because that would give them more time, more comfortable. It could be a huge investment, but it would also pay itself off because everyone uses transport, and it would make it so more people would have access to the city. It'd be easier to get there and back. Like, there are so many benefits to it, but that's such a huge project. It's outside of my price range and will be for probably my entire life. Anyways, but other than that, if there's smaller transportation things we could fix or add, it's a pretty flooded market, but there's room for more in select areas. And that's again, the target audience of trying to help everyone. And that's one way that it could be profitable, allowing us to scale, have more businesses, and hire more people, and develop more, right? And so if it's for everyone, then it has to be foodstuffs that are somehow cheap. And there's a lot of stores with food. So how would that be different? I'm not sure. But if we're trying to just employ people right away, it could be a good one starting. Even though it's one that's common, it can make money. And it could, over time, grow bigger. And it would employ people, and it could be profitable. But it just wouldn't be large scale. It'd be one building. So it'd be more like a one-time investment, and then the person running it can keep it going, which could be nice. So that's one aspect. The other side is to focus on the rich. And the rich means those who are driving cars and tourists. So I was looking into the tourism industry, a lot of interesting stuff there. The registration processes. Once you have the registration done, you can offer tickets and visas, and you can give them packages. Even before you have enough money for a vehicle or to bring them on the tours, you can get them all the acceptances and the reservations for the tour, which, since I do know people on both this side and that side, it could work very well. It's, again, a very expensive startup. That's one of the main things I found, is that things actually do cost. Larger scale businesses do cost more money here to start up. If it's going mostly because of registration fees or government fees, because if it's going to make money, the government wants a piece of it before it gets started. And so that's true for registration. That's true for exporting, importing, transporting business, like products. They do cost more than I expected, not because of the actual things, but because of the registration to get there. So yeah, there's things like that. We'll keep that in mind. And it might maybe a longer time after I get home before I can get one implemented. But right now, I didn't have the budget. Anyways, I'm trying to find one. So the other thing that I see somehow lacking here is gadgets for the car. They do have these things that allow you to put it in and have a USB connection in old cars. But in America, we have many different gadgets. We have phone holders that are wireless charging. We have Bluetooth connectors and adapters. And if I was to bring over some gadgets, some tech, there'd be many people interested in them, depending on the price. And if it was too high, you still had the rich audience because they go in cars, they help older cars. And when you're working in the car, a small gadget, it may be expensive, but compared to the money they're spending on fuel for it, it can be within their budget, potentially. So that's the opportunity there, is trying to find a way to market to the rich instead of to everyone. That, again, could be profitable, allowing us to expand, open more locations, hire more people, and develop more of Uganda. So both these could lead to more steps forward, is the point. So that's kind of what I've been looking at on the local business side of things, in a nutshell. As to my other ideas before, a physical business can be good, but it costs money every month because you're renting a place. And so it'd have to be profitable every month, which means high startup costs. It needs to be started and actually be making money. With a trading or an international business, that one can also be difficult to do when you're not here. And so with the international business, the main export is coffee. I visited some coffee milling. I saw the people who run it. And also I know some of the people who bring it from those milling companies to the export location. They hope over time to bring it out, like to export it themselves too. But right now they are the middleman. They connect the farmers to the exporters. He is working on registration right now. And once he's registered as a business, they can give him money up front. He's halfway through the process. And once he's completely done with registration, it can grow fast. The only thing that's preventing him now from making money is he doesn't have it. And once he has money, he can bring as many loads as he wants. He's reached out to people for help for investments, and because right now he needs it to get through this main season of coffee, which ends in July. Once he gets assistance, he'll be able to make it through this season with enough profit to finish his registration, and then he'll be a solid business. He's done for a few years as an individual. He's just now trying to register as a business. By saying that, it really did seem like if you were with someone who knows what they're doing, is familiar with it, who's done it for a few years, it seems like if you bring money, then the money comes back with profit. It looked really consistently. We went over his books, we went over the cost for transportation, and the way that can vary, and all of it checked out, really. That one seemed very, like, a safe, profitable option. The other exports we got besides agricultural that Uganda does, which after coffee is like fish and things and cotton, I think. I don't know. I'm not sure what exactly the order is of things after, but I know coffee is the huge percentage, just like 40%. All the others are the other like 5% of this, 5%, you know, 5% or less, I think. But there's a lot of iron. There's a lot of iron and steel exports too. Usually as construction materials. And I was talking to my mission president. So when I served here for 2 years, you have, of course, someone who makes sure everything is running smoothly. He's the one you go to when you have questions, when you need help. So I visited with him, and he is a businessman from Zimbabwe. He's experienced with this type of things. He's lived in Uganda. So he's seen both business in Africa, and specifically he's seen Uganda because he's been here for some years. And it was a good conversation I had with him that allowed me to see the opportunities for trading to here. The one big recommendation that him and his wife gave me was not to stay in Uganda, but if you're bringing materials here, you should bring them to the others of East Africa too. They're in a coalition that makes it easy to transport things across lines. That means Kenya, that means Tanzania, and it means South Sudan. South Sudan is very risky, so many people are afraid to bring stuff there. But as businessmen know, risk is also where the reward is. I have some contacts now. We will fill out toward that direction too, because maybe we could bring things from Uganda to South Sudan, and that could also be a profitable business, and it would use transport and drivers, and it could grow to be more East Africa, and it could even grow to be more international, depending on the way things went. but there were some possibilities there I was looking into as well. I think it will be not as soon as I expected. I think I do need to go home, finish school and work and save money first. I won't be able to do it over like a summer's pay like I was hoping, but I could do something small on a savings from summer's pay. But overall, I think the stronger option is to go home, save some money, and then come back. And by then also, we can figure out if we're going to be bringing things from America, it makes sense to bring things back. But it does seem wise to wait for a few years before trying to bring things into America due to the current tariff negotiations. Even though this isn't China, it's just better to wait and see on that one rather than try to deal with it right now, especially since it takes planning months in advance and it can change any day, any week. So waiting would also make more sense for if it's connecting US to Uganda. But if I'm connecting most materials to Uganda, and I wanted to do it more to everyone rather than just to the Mugagas, just to the rich people, then they get most of their stuff from China. And so if I was able to talk with them, possibly it would make more sense in many ways to connect China with Uganda, since they're already connected in some ways and they already have things coming this way, that I could get some space, or I could get a container could be added to a trip that's already coming instead of funding an entirely new one from US, because there's really not a lot being brought to US from Uganda. And so that's kind of something else that's been interesting, because I was always expecting it could be on one end of the operation. But if now it's two or four countries, I don't know exactly how I could figure out how to run that while being in a different country. I have some concerns about trying to start business when I'm not here on the ground. We'll see what comes time to implementation, what I can figure out. I talked with quite a few people about their plans for business and the way that they're trying to make the money to become settled and to grow and expand. Here is one of them now.
Trevor Dykes is here with Fred Oma. Fred Oma is from Eastern Uganda, Busia, which is very near the Kenyan border. And we are going to ask him some questions today about his goals for business and for developing in Uganda. The first question that we're asking Oma is, what is your goal in these endeavors?
Oh, I thank you so much, Trevor Dykes, for that wonderful question. As he said, I'm Fred Oma from Busia, and it's found in Uganda, in the eastern part of Uganda. And my goal is actually to start up a school and also build a hospital. And yeah, that's my goal.
And you want to do these in Busia specifically?
Yeah, Busia specifically. And in my village, which is called Wichicha village. Yep.
Are there many schools and hospitals in Wichicha right now?
Currently in my village, we don't have any secondary school that is operating. The closest school is far from our Wichicha village. Uh-huh. It's 10 kilometers, something like that. So I really want a school that can be easily accessed by the village and the community members. And we also don't have a good health facility like a hospital. And this has affected the health of the community members. It's also my goal. And I know if I open up a hospital, it will help the community members.
For sure, that's powerful. And how do you think that you can achieve these goals?
Okay. Well, so I started long ago to dream about these goals, and I've done some simple things, and actually they're still in operations. And I know these small simple things, they will help me achieve these bigger goals. One, I have a poultry project, and currently I'm raising over 200 broilers. And so I generate money monthly. Every time I keep, I get some profits, which I save, and I know these savings will help me. I also own the car with the help from my friend, who is my interviewer here, Trevor Dykes. He really did a very good job here, big sacrifice. and I'm owning now a car, and I know this car, I will use it to also increase on my income, which will also help me to achieve my goal. I also have a chapati stand. I employed one of the community boy in my village, so he also reports almost daily, if everything goes well daily. And I also save this money to achieve those bigger goals. I have a plan of starting up an ice cream business. So I know when I start up the thing, it will also help me to increase on my savings, which will help me achieve these bigger goals.
Some of the people who listen to this will not be from Uganda. Can you explain chapati small?
Okay. So chapati, it's like a snack. It's round like a pizza. And it's made out of wheat flour.
Mm.
And it's commonly known as chapati here in East Africa. And it's a fast food and for everyone, and people like it here.
Great. Now, the other thing you talked about was getting a car. Again, some people may want... Do most people have cars in Busia?
Honestly, not many people have cars in Busia. It's just a few. Yeah, it's just a few. And actually, in my family, this will be the first car that we own in my family. My father doesn't have, my grandfather didn't have. So I've broken that curse with the hope from the Dykes family. And I think this will also improve. So not many people have cars in Busia.
And you will use it to make money through which ways mainly?
So I'll be transporting people and transporting goods from one place to another, people from one place to another. It will be like a taxi. Yeah, that's what it will be doing, because it's also a good business here. Yeah, people like moving their goods. People want to always travel every day. So yeah, I'll use that discar for specifically that.
Now that we know a little bit about the how, let's talk also about the why. Why are you so driven to start this hospital, start this school, to increase these small businesses?
Okay. You know, in my community, I've seen a lot of people suffering. Most of our young men and young women, they are not going to school because of the distance. Most people are also not getting the good, the health, and the quality medical they're supposed to get, which is affecting their lifespan. I just want to break this and bring a good impact, a positive impact in the community. Yeah, so by achieving these goals, my community members, their life will improve, and also the academic status in my village will also improve. It will be on a certain level.
Powerful. I think the last question we have is, who is this going to affect? And anything you want to share about yourself, about the reason why you are driven, anything else you want to share about yourself or any facts, you're also free.
Okay, thank you. I'm not only thinking about myself, but I'm thinking about the community. I'm thinking about the people in the community, and just want to bring a positive impact in my community. I love the people, and I also want to do something for them that will have an impact, that will add a value to them, that will make them competent to come out and compete for the jobs outside.
That finishes everything. Thank you so much, Fred Omar, for your time. Wish you continued progress and development as you go forward.
There are many other people I talk to as well who have similar goals, similar dreams as Omar. And I've been able to talk to them and hear their plans and their dreams. And they have sense, they have wisdom, and what they mostly need is capital. And they do need to make more specific business plans in most cases. Most of them are not as planned or as ineffective even as Oma's is, but they have dreams. And so I've been helping them create a business like plan, proposal, that they can know exactly what their steps are to accomplish what they're trying to be, the costs, the expenses, and the results. And so all in all, I see possibilities here. There's some things that have been discouraging. The price has been higher than expected. There are some lease-to-own programs that have been tried here in the past and failed. That was discouraging to hear as well, how that happened. I might be able to find ways to avoid what caused them to fail, but maybe not. I need to first explore more and see if there's a way I can solve the issue or prevent the issue from becoming an issue the way it was in this situation that I heard about. But overall, I do see a lot of possibilities here, and I see a lot of people with dreams, people that want to change, to make a change, to have a change, that have drive and desire. And I think if they have that, then we can figure out the rest. If they're willing to be honest, to work hard, to put in their blood, sweat, and tears, I think there's a way that we can work together to have something great. Thanks everyone for listening. Uplift Uganda.
Uplift Uganda is a production of Food for Thought Audio. This episode is written and produced by me, Trevor Dykes, with music and post-production by Kenny Mears. We'd like to thank Fred Oma for his interview. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, YouTube, or Instagram, or wherever you listen to podcasts for more content. And until next time, thanks for listening.